You know, the listeners need to know about the coronavirus because there's alarming reports, and of course there's different risks, and old people, as we know, are much more vulnerable. So we're wondering if you would be, you know, personally involved in giving us some information about this. Is it misleading? Is it associated with the common cold? And why is the coronavirus so dangerous? So let's just start. Why is it killing people, and how did this crisis begin?
Well, it all began in China, in the Wuhan district, 2 years ago, when they opened up a laboratory for very, very dangerous infectious diseases. Now, that should make you suspicious that 2 years later, suddenly this virus breaks out, and it starts affecting people, and whoever gets in touch with them, they start getting very, very ill. But what makes you suspicious is that the coronavirus is a common thing. It is not a dangerous pathogen as such. It's like the adenovirus, which we all familiar with when we have a cold.
Yes.
Whenever you sneeze and say, "Well, I'm catching a cold," already in your body you have coronavirus, adenovirus, rhinovirus, and a few other dozen viruses in your body. So what is so special about this, and why are people panicking? And you know, the movement of millions of people are being restricted, and they're even saying now that the 2020 Olympics are going to be affected by this, about the movement of people. So what is this virus?
Yes, what is this virus? In other words, if we look at it, you know, there was someone that had written a book, and I'll come back to it because I have got the information on my phone. Okay. In other words, Dean Kuntz, he wrote The Eyes of Darkness, and this was written in 2010. And he spoke about a virus. He said they call the stuff Wuhan 400, and outside the city of Wuhan, and it was it's a strain, man-made strain.
It's man-made. Yeah.
And that's what he talks about. And this is what they say in this thriller by Dean Kuntz in 1981, mentioned a virus named Wuhan 400. In this novel, the virus was created as a weapon in a laboratory. And I mean, it's at the same space.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's uncanny. And I mean, this book was in 19... Okay, let's look at it. Oops.
They say this was predictive, and here it's happening.
In 1981.
Hmm. So it's more than just a common cold, as we know. And the whole thing of calling it a coronavirus is a bit strange. So the World Health Organization actually managed to identify this pathogen, and they've called it the 2019 novel coronavirus, or the 29COV, or
yes,
COVID-19 infection. Mm-hmm. That's now what it's branded as.
Yes.
As you say, people, even if they're writing fiction, it can become reality because this is the trend. You know, biological warfare is intentionally done. But in the case of this virus, they said too that it would be affected by the meat market, and it was spread by bats, and there's a lot of stories going on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've also really dug into the bottom of this, and they found that in the meat market, they couldn't find a single item on that meat market that was actually carrying this strange virus.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to have just broken out, and it started doing its thing. And it is infectious, like, you know, even the adenovirus is infectious, the mm-hmm. cold infection. And it shouldn't cause so much alarm, but it is killing people.
Yes, yes.
But the statistics are, you know, even the common cold is killing people.
Yes.
Anybody with pneumonia or weak, who's old and full of toxins like most of us, all you need is just some stressor, and then you can get a respiratory failure and die.
Yes.
But the news has got hold of this thing, and what stories we hear. Amazing.
Yeah. It seems, if you look at the news, that it is spreading, and there's several deaths with this virus. And there is a fear that is going around. People coming from those nearby countries are tested before they enter South Africa, and I suppose it's happening throughout the world. So now, it is something to be suspicious about, but our creator knows what's the real story, if I may say so. What about vaccines? Normally, vaccines need to keep up with all the mutations of cold, flu, and other infections. But what can you tell us about vaccines?
Well, the problem with a vaccine in the case of viruses that mutate, you know, every year the pharmacies and everybody says, well, come and have your flu shots.
Yes.
But flu is mutating on a constant basis. So you might get the flu that has been, you know, it begins normally from the east, we get the first outbreaks. And then they use those viruses to make up the vaccines, and then as the thing moves towards the west, they say, right, this is the vaccine for what we've had. Avian flu in the east, don't worry, this will protect you from avian flu. But then you can get infected by swine flu or some other mutation. So what is the vaccine doing to you? Well, it's not going to target the exact virus. It's not even going to generally strengthen and support your whole immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to cost you money. And according to some reports in the newspapers, they're very concerned now if we're going to vaccinate on a global scale, mm-hmm. that at least 7,000 people will die from the vaccine itself. So there's a high risk involved as to, are you going to even survive the vaccine? And is it going to work?
Yes. So generally, if you notice... you would say that old people are the most vulnerable in this type of situation.
This is what they're saying, Dilek, is that people like you and I need to be worried. And how come the children escape from it? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a strong association between inflammation, levels of inflammation. You know, we've often spoken about why we need to detoxify and why we need to get rid of parasites. And why we have to look at our high blood pressure and all our cardiovascular diseases. Now, they all have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really happen to children.
Yeah.
But the side effect is inflammation.
Yes.
And this is why we have to take so many anti-inflammatory drugs. So many of us are on cortisone. And what happens with inflammation is it makes your body very acidic.
Mm-hmm.
It compromises your immunity to a large degree. And then to add to that inflammation, you know, we don't help when we have bad habits, and some people are still smoking cigarettes, and they don't eat nutritious food, they don't see the need to exercise anymore, they all sit on their cell phones and they radiate themselves. So the toxic load gets higher and higher, whereas young children, A, they don't have that degree of inflammation, and B, so far so good, inshallah, they do exercise a lot more than us and get fresh air,
yeah.
And to the degree they are healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not the primary targets, but believe me, they can still come down because we have a lot of children who do suffer from inflammation and ADD and weakened immunity, and they are not resistant to colds and things, and they do have high levels of inflammation. Evidently not to the degree that us grown-ups have.
And also,
so
I think lots of them can be undernourished in certain areas, certain parts of the world.
Well, that's a general thing, is the undernourishment and also eating foods that are against them, that do cause inflammation. And too many people are eating wheat to the point that it is also inflaming them, and that includes the children. But I think the main things we're making with older people are a lot of us are suffering from chronic respiratory diseases and arthritis, and we're taking all the medications. The medications, as you know, also have their side effects, and some of those side effects do also affect immunity, and they can also cause inflammation. So it's a vicious circle. But things to mainly be concerned about is the compromised immune system, and again, a lot of people do have HIV status, which doesn't help their resistance to things that are going to into their body. The immune system's not going to say welcome. It's not going to kick them out. So they are vulnerable. The nutritional deficiencies are widespread. And the specific ones you need for a really tip-top immune system, you really have to top up on antioxidants and all your B vitamins and your omega-3 oils. You know, we always talk about what do they do? They're anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
But not many people are going to go and spend a few hundred grand a month on fortifying themselves with the best nutrition.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If they get sick, there's free medicine around the corner and they just have to go and pick it up. It's not going to help in this case. So we have to look at ways and means of how are we going to prevent this.
Okay. So you normally, as you said, how we're reducing inflammation, you also spoke about, or normally your favorite is when it comes to the iodine, and you always talk about, you said according to Dr. Brownstein, there is no bacterium or virus, parasite or fungus that is known to be resistant to iodine. Just want to elaborate.
Would you like to go and repeat that to the World Health Organization?
Yeah.
You know, this again makes one suspicious. Why aren't they using iodine in this case?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that it helps to kill bacteria. And to the degree that you're short of iodine, we've often gone into this, is that you are then more vulnerable to breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You're more vulnerable to even having odor problems due to bacteria that's under your arms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you've got a very good iodine status, you should be able to nail any infection automatically.
Yeah.
So we definitely don't. We're not well equipped to fight infections.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once you've got the infection, then you get a whole cavalcade of other things that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, as I'd like to mention, is the acute respiratory distress
syndrome.
Yes, I
was going
to
ask you about that, yes.
Yeah, so if you've got an underlying illness and you happen to be old like us, and you happen to have this new designer virus inside you, what's going to happen is that your body's going to react to it. It's going to affect the way that you breathe, because when you go into distress, respiratory distress, you run out of oxygen, and the carbon dioxide builds up in your bloodstream. And then you gasp and you pant and you try and get air, and if you get more and more stressed, you become more and more acidic, there's less and less oxygen around, and before you know it, your heartbeat goes crazy, and you sit there panting and gasping, and you could pass out. You could just black out.
Yes.
And when this happens to people, and you know, I'm just mentioning this to you, should it happen to somebody, and you see that the sides of their mouth is going blue,
mm-hmm.
and around the fingernails, and now you must know that they're short of oxygen, and it is truly a medical emergency. So that you've got to realize is what this designer virus does. And that is not something that a common cold would do to you. It definitely is as a result of all this new virus that they've tinkered around with. But it's not the end of the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Sue, sometimes, as you said, inflammation is a cause of most diseases because of the acidity. How can we reduce inflammation?
Well, we are all old-fashioned protocols, as you know. We look at the fats that we're consuming these days. Half of them are causing inflammation. And this lovely new eat as much fat as you like has done a lot of harm to the way that inflammation is now superseding the anti-inflammatory oils. They say eat as much butter as you like, it's lovely. They're not telling you that it also contains a pro-inflammatory chemical called arachidonic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you eat unlimited kinds of meat and saturated fats, you're going to run out of the omega-3 oils, the ones that you get from the fish. How many people are taking cod liver oil capsules and salmon oil capsules and eating a lot of flax seeds to offset the amounts of, you know, we just go glug, glug, glug with the sunflower oil and we fry all our food in that.
Yes.
And we have too many omega-6 oils. They come from plants, they're good fats and they're healthy, but we eat them to excess. And then in the body, it sets off a pro-inflammation cycle. And it sets off the prostaglandins. You've got two types of prostaglandins. They are just little messengers, little chemicals, but the one says, cause a flare-up. Come on, raise the temperature and make it red and swollen and alert the immune system and make it try and attack itself and raise the alarms. That's what we call inflammation. It's your body going into panic mode.
Yes.
And you're doing that just with the oils that you've got out of balance. There's a lot of things that cause the inflammation, as we said. Medications do. The side effects of medications. some of the other foods we eat, and especially we have to go on and on about wheat. It doesn't suit 80% of us, it doesn't suit. And then the wheat itself is full of strange organisms these days and chemicals. We've got the glycosides. We've got the chemtrails up in the air. So all those types of inflammation, once you've identified the source, you've got to start doing something to bring down the levels. There are a lot of other anti-inflammatory supplements you can take, and one of the really good ones I like is bromelain, and that you get from pineapple crops. They actually make a chemical from the pineapple. That's why I say chop up the pineapple tops and put them in your juice, you know, and then serve them out, of course. But there's a very quick way of getting more bromelain. And then the favorite one they're always saying is turmeric. You have the curcumin in it.
Yes.
And that's if you want to make everything in your house yellow.
Yeah.
I don't know what experience you've had with turmeric. But
generally with the Indian cooking, there is a lot of turmeric.
Yes, we like adding it to curries and things. Yes, but when they start telling you to brush your teeth with it and, you know, rinse and gargle and bath in it, everything turns yellow.
Yes.
But it, it's helpful. As I say in Afrikaans, I'm a bitchy's help.
Okay.
But along with that, you also need a lot more antioxidants.
Yes.
And it's not just vitamin C and it's not just vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main one
that
we're going to have to look at is the original antioxidant that you've got in your body is something that you make yourself.
Yeah, is that, allows the body to control the oxidative stress and detoxify itself. Mm-hmm.
We actually automatically do that and make our own antioxidants because we say, oh, we've got to have more vitamin C because we don't make it. Now, why is it only us and hamsters who don't make vitamin C and all the other animals make vitamin C?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a more primitive antioxidant. The most sophisticated, the designer Rolls Royce of antioxidants is actually a chemical called glutathione.
Okay.
And it's made out of amino acids, which are based in proteins. So the body makes glutathione, and its main job is to reduce inflammation, reduce oxidative stress, to support the immune system, and to help it remove any pathogen that is threatening your life, and especially the way you breathe, your airways and that, should automatically be controlled by glutathione in your own body. So if you've run out of the glutathione, you are in serious trouble.
Yes. Sue, I'm just going to ask you, we are running short of a bit of time, but we can continue with this topic next week. Is it easier to take a glutathione supplement?
Well, it would be lovely, I'm saying now, glutathione. Yes, just take the supplements. You can buy glutathione supplements, but they unfortunately break down to the original amino acids again.
Okay.
So it's rather better just to eat more protein, good forms of protein, and we've got all the notes for that.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you are getting, you don't need a lot of vitamin C, but to start the reaction, you need a bit of vitamin C. And I mean, that's easily accessible by having a tomato here and an apple there and you know, a few oranges and lemons. You would get your vitamin C. Selenium is easy to get hold of if you're eating meats and Brazil nuts and brewer's yeast. And again, vitamin B6 is a very important cofactor.
It's
the one that sets off the reaction and helps you to make the glutathione. And we've often said, just take a maxi B, a stress vitamin. So more protein, more B vitamins, and you can make your own glutathione. And the way to check that you are actually well in the glutathione category is when the doctor measures you for inflammation and they measure something like the homocysteine level, you know, when you have cardiac patients, some doctors are very concerned with bringing down the histamine level. Well, the cysteine that goes towards the production of that histamine, which is a pro-inflammatory chemical, should actually be going to the glutathione, which is the anti-inflammatory chemical.
Okay.
So there's something wrong. So the whole thing isn't taking place, the whole reaction. And a very small part of it is genetic. But for most of us, we're just neglecting our nutrition. And that's why we are sitting ducks for all these diseases. So we really have to attend to the good science. And I read, again, with all my digging through the research, that you can give glutathione if it's done in a liposomal supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give it intravenously if someone's dying. You can save their lives from the coronavirus by giving them the proper glutathione supplement. So I've left a link. You can all make up your own minds what you're going to do about, you know, what would happen to you if you got the coronavirus. Because that was the original question that I was asked.
Yeah. So, Sue, very quickly, last question. What would you do to protect yourself and deal with the worldwide outbreak? What would you do?
What would you do? Well, I know my history well enough to know that even 200 years ago, you know how they used to deal with it. In those days, Samuel Hahnemann had already developed homeopathy. And that is something that you totally can believe in, and it does work, and they have used it already, even in the 20th century, to stop huge outbreaks of infectious diseases. Even in Cuba, they saved millions of people. And in Brazil, they use the homeopathic version of vaccinating you, and they saved these people from meningitis and all sorts of infectious diseases. Even the homeopathic way of immunizing you can work for malaria. So if you're going into a malaria area and you're scared of drug-resistant malaria, you go to the homeopath and say, what is the latest nozode? Now, nozode is the method where they take the pathogen, they potentize it, they take the energetic vibration of it, and then they put it into the little sugar pools which you suck. That then, in turn, is like taking a vaccination. You don't actually receive a dose like in a vaccine of the pathogen. In this case, you receive the message. It's at a finer level. It's very, very safe. You can take it for babies. It doesn't kill you. It doesn't break the bank. It's very effective. It's very widespread. So if you really want to take me seriously and you are scared of traveling anywhere in the world, I've left a link to the United States Homeopathic Foundation in Maryland.
Yes.
And they will guide you through, step by step, how to use the nozodes, where to get them, and how to immunize millions and millions of people for a very low cost. But at the same time, if it was me personally, I would top up on my iodine.
Yes, I
and
know.
And, of course, my olive leaves. I wouldn't eat anything that causes inflammation. I'd be a very good girl and no more cook systems. And,
and coffee also, I'm sure, eh?
Do what you can to get healthy and robust, because it's not only the coronavirus that's around the corner.
Yes,
it could
definitely be
any pathogen they can come up with next. And yes, the worst thing you can do is believe everything you hear on the radio, on the BBC, on the internet. They're just going to tell you that the world is in total disorder. I mean, this morning, even after hearing some reports on the news, I said to my husband, Jimmy, I said, well, why don't they just switch the world off and shut it down and send everybody home?
Yes.
You know, every time your temperature goes up or sneeze, you're not allowed to travel, you've got to wear a mask.
Yes.
You know, let's just wake up to the fact that there are solutions to these problems, and we can do a lot about it ourselves.
Okay. So we'll have to stop there, and we will, I'm sure we always, our topics always overlap, and of course, as we said, iodine, and now you've come out, you're advising us on the homeopathic, should I say, vaccine.
Well, thank you. For the rest, you can go to the website, www.naturefresh.co.za, and we already have a link to the story there. I'll put more news up on Facebook, and tomorrow morning you can listen to the talk again if you'd like to share it with anybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm glad I got all that off my chest.
Yes, thank you so much, Sue. Very, very interesting. And as we said, Sue is on www.naturefresh.co.za.